Would you turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to Luke and at chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, and as the Lord would enable us, we might consider together verse 4. We'll read from verse 2. Well, we'll read in verse 1. The disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When ye pray, say, 'Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive every one that is indebted to us." Especially these words this morning. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We have a great need. It is to be delivered from sin. And when we are troubled by guilt, we want to know the assurance of forgiveness. And therefore the Lord taught his disciples, teaches us to pray, "Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive every one that is indebted to us." Oh, that this guilt might be dealt with, that I might know the sweet assurance of sins forgiven through Jesus Christ and his work. Isn't it not wonderful good news to know that God is one who justly and freely pardons sinners for Christ's sake? Make sure that is where you are resting all your hopes of forgiveness and acceptance with God on. Well, the worldly person and the hypocrite, all he wants is to hear that his sins are forgiven. All he wants is that the punishment he deserves will somehow be dealt with and removed. He'd be quite content to have salvation in sin. But he is not so interested in salvation from sin. One of the great troubles in the church in more recent days has been almost an emphasis on salvation and one of the great problems has been a stress on pardon and forgiveness at the expense of holiness of life. In many places, it doesn't seem to matter how you live as a believer. As long as you're trusting in Jesus, everything's fine. And yet, what does Scripture say? Hebrews 12:14. "Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord." And therefore, although holiness or the sanctification of God's people does not in any way contribute to their acceptance with God, without it, the reality is there is no acceptance because there is no living faith in the Lord Jesus. A person who comes to a true faith in Christ is not content with deliverance from guilt and punishment. He's not content with pardon. He wants to be done with the problem of sin. He hates sin. And he battles against sin. He grieves over sin. That's why the Lord surely taught us to pray also. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." If you're heartily sick of sin, that's a good sign. If you're just content for forgiveness, there's a problem that needs sorting. Well, let's look at this prayer. And we can see that this prayer is something that we need. And as we are aware of the power of the evil one, we will pray this prayer. But deliver us from evil. Now, that could be translated from the evil one. That may or may not be how it should be taken, but the reality is God's people are aware of the power of the evil one. Isn't he powerful? Is he not one who troubles many people? Is he not malicious, especially towards God's people? He's described as a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. We read that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. If it was an ordinary human foe that we had to do battle with, that would be one thing. But it's against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It is mighty spiritual forces, and there the head is Satan, one who envied God, and one who envies man in his happiness. Perhaps we might think of him like a bit like a spoilt child, seeing someone else being given something, and envious, and just wanting to destroy what they have, or destroy that child that's got something they don't have. Is that not what the devil is like? Foolish, mad, malicious, malignant, and we're aware he wants our ruin because he hates all who love God. We have a powerful foe. He has many wiles. He is one who is crafty and well practiced. He's been observing man since the creation, and he's been observing you through all his minions allied with him. And he watches for times and places where he can get us. We need to pray for help then, don't we? And not only that, he's got many allies. We're told of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Well, you think of the world opposed to God, and people are so ready to join in opposition to God and to drag us into sin. We think of the flesh and the mystery of God's ways. When he brings a person to himself, he doesn't make them perfectly holy immediately. They have to go through a lifelong process of sanctification, becoming holy. There's still a root of corruption or indwelling sin or the flesh within us. Our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Don't you know that, friend? And isn't it true that just as a cuckoo lays its nest, eggs in other birds' nests, so the devil is well practiced at laying his designs and thoughts for sin into our hearts. And we're liable to think they're our own. As someone put it, we often hatch the devil's motions, thinking they are from our own heart. You see, if he came suddenly, we might be more liable to reject them. But when they seem to come from our own heart, our own wicked hearts as they are, liable to encourage these things, how difficult it is to resist. Think of what a brazen foe we fight. Didn't he attack Christ? Didn't he quote scripture to Christ? Think of it. Taking the word of God designed to make us holy, and he'll even use that in malice to draw us into sin. Think of how he can attack us during our devotions, during our public worship. You find thoughts coming. Where did that come from? And we end up distracted and disturbed, even as we worship. What a brazen foe. He'll even have us zealous for God's glory in a wrong way. He doesn't care, as long as he can cause trouble. How we need to watch and pray. And not only do we have a powerful foe, the evil one, is it not true that we are weak? Don't you feel, as you go on, the deceitfulness of your heart? That it is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? Don't we need help to fight against sin and temptation? Well, here's a prayer. We can say that it's a prayer that Christ would have prayed for himself. Now, it was impossible for Christ to sin because he was the Holy One, upheld and filled by the Spirit, and as one who was a divine person in our nature, he could not sin. But that is not to say that temptation was not a reality to him, that he had to fight, and that therefore he would have was relying on the Spirit's help to enable him to resist the evil one. There was no flesh within, unlike us, but he still had to battle against temptation. And perhaps you see the climax of that in Gethsemane. Are you really going to go to the cross and suffer there? How foolish. There were great drops of blood. That's what his sweat was like, great drops of blood. It was not easy for him to say, "Not my will, but thine be done." But he did it by the grace and help of God. So here is Christ teaching us we need help and we need to pray. Let's consider then this prayer. What exactly is he speaking of? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. First of all, keep us from being tempted. Keep us from being tempted. What does it mean? Lead us not into temptation. Well, we know that the word temptation can also mean trials, and often trials become a source of temptation. But so really, just to see this as a prayer, "Do not lead us into trials," doesn't make much difference. He's dealing with the problem here of temptation when we are tempted to sin. And immediately you're thinking, wait a minute, surely God does not tempt anyone to sin. He cannot be tempted with sin, neither tempteth he any man. James 1:13. And that's true. The Lord is holy. The Lord is one who is without sin. He is pure and of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. He is holy. He hates sin. He can never be the author of sin. He can never be to blame for sin in any sense whatsoever. Your sin, my sin, is our fault, never God's fault. He cannot be tempted, neither tempts he any man. But on the other hand, we have to remember that God is sovereign and that nothing is out with his control. We sang of that in Psalm 135. Whatsoever God is pleased to do, that is what he does. And he is one who is outworking all things after the counsel of his will. And the reality is in God's plan and purpose. We are brought into situations where we are tempted to sin. We can see that He has decreed that we should be confronted with temptation, that he allows things to happen. You've got that picture we read of in Job chapter 1, where Satan comes and seeks the permission of God to disturb Job in order to tempt him to sin, because he thinks Job is just a hypocrite. He's mercenary. Does Job serve God for nothing? Of course he doesn't. It's only because you bless him. Take away everything. Now his faith will be gone. And he is permitted to bring trials and temptations his way. The reality is, there are times when God, in his sovereign purpose, will lead us in his plan and providence into a situation where we are confronted with many temptations. And indeed, don't you see that in the life of Christ himself? We read that he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan. What strong language. But it shows us God's sovereignty in these things. And that the believer often ends up in a situation where temptation comes. It's interesting. Remember the occasion when David numbered the people at the end of his life. It's very interesting if you look at that. It was something that was wrong. It's as if David is numbering the people, and it is going to be, he's doing it because either out of pride, it's such a great people, or he is numbering the army so that he knows the strength that he has, and he's relying on himself rather than God. But for our purpose this morning, the interesting thing is this, that we read in 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1, of David being stirred to do this by Satan's enmity. So Satan's at work, and he's stirring up David, and David quickly gives in. And yet in 2 Samuel 24:1, we're told that God moved David in his providence to do this. God's not to blame, but in God's providence, we're led to many situations where we are tempted. His providence is wise, his providence is holy. There are reasons why he is doing it. Amongst other things, he will be showing us our own heart, what is in it, by allowing us to enter into temptation, and yes, even to fall in temptation. What therefore is this prayer here? Lead us not into temptation. It's surely simply this, a prayer. And surely this must often be our prayer, that if it is God's will, he will keep us and we will be kept from situations where we will be liable to be tempted to fall into sin and be ensnared by the evil one. Lord, keep me from going to places and doing things, ending up in situations where I'm going to be tempted, and I may very well fall into sin. And you know, there are many situations where actually we don't see God's overruling providence keeping us from being tempted. We should remember these things and thank God each day that there are many situations where he has kept us from being tempted. Things that we might not even see ourselves. Think of the mercy of not being led into temptation. Is this not a plea that the Father in his mercy would in compassion keep us from being tempted? Does he not know our weakness? Does he not know our frailty? Oh, that my Father would have a watchful eye upon me, and so overrule all things to keep me from those situations where I could destroy myself spiritually. Lord, be merciful. Lead me not into temptation. Surely when we pray this prayer, we are praying that, well, if he does allow us to enter into a situation where we are tempted, if he does lead us into temptation, that it will only be for our good, that it will be to try us and to humble us, and ultimately to make us more useful in his service. That it will be a means, ultimately, of helping us to serve him in this world. Perhaps our own folly, enabling us to comfort others who end up in similar situations, or a means of fitting us for heaven itself. Part of the sanctification process. We've learned something by that fall, and we might be doubly resolved to hate sin more and to serve the Lord and walk with him more closely. Lord, may that be why I would be brought into temptation. But what sort of mindset do we need as we think of not being led into temptation? Surely we can only pray this prayer as we are watching and praying. Watch and pray, said Jesus, lest ye enter into temptation. It's only as we're thinking. It's only as we're avoiding temptation itself. It's only as we're aware we're actually in a war zone. As we think, I'm in a war zone here, there are difficulties, then we will be praying to the Lord, keep me from temptation, because there is a roaring lion seeking to devour me. And perhaps another thing is this. We must keep ourselves where God has called us. It's interesting that Christ was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. He is led by God there. He's not there just because he's felt like going there. There was a compunction which led him there. And it's there that he was tempted. And the reality is that often we place ourselves in dangerous situations. Friend, don't think that you can pray this prayer sincerely and be blasé about where you go or what you're doing. If you are blasé and careless about where you go, what you're doing, you cannot really expect God to keep you from temptation. So that means we have to be careful. There are things we'd be better not watching, because we know they will lead us into temptation. Books that we should avoid reading. Music that we should avoid listening to. Activities which will do our souls no good. Company that we should avoid. The person who's a drink problem and then goes into the house where there's a party going and all his friends are there who are drinking themselves silly. Well, he may come out sober, but he's been very foolish, putting himself in the way of temptation. You and I have to learn that more and more. To realise that Satan sows in fallow ground, and be careful and watch out that we do not place ourselves in situations where we're liable to fall. Here then is a prayer. Keep us from being tempted. But a second aspect of the prayer, keep us when we are tempted. Keep us when we are tempted. You see, isn't it true that often the Lord will allow us to be tempted? And we will end up in situations which are dangerous for us, and we need help to resist. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, keep me when I am tempted. The Lord will bring you to situations where you're tempted. And how are you to respond? Well, remember God's method of help. We pray, keep us when we are tempted. How does he answer this prayer? How does he help us? Well, has he not given us the armour of God? We read of that in Ephesians 6. And he responds by helping us to use that armour. And how we need his grace and help. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Find your strength there as you are fighting. And there is the armour you're equipping yourself with. And you engage in the battle, because you've been engaged by the enemy. And he's given us the whole armour of God, and we're to put it on. And especially there is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. We find the Lord himself using that as he fends off the attacks of the evil one. He quotes scripture. He brings it to mind. He fends off and knocks away that probe, which is that probing attack on him with the sword. And he quenches the fiery darts of the evil one with the shield of faith. Is that not what we're to do? To take a hold of the truths and the promises of God's word. We need to use the armor of God. Lord, help me when I'm tempted to use that armor. Help me to make sure I'm prepared beforehand, and when the evil one comes, may that armor be used by me effectively. How we need him to give us grace to withstand in the evil day. To have a growing hatred of sin. Is that not where so many of our problems come? We don't hate sin as we should hate sin. And therefore we don't run away from it as we should. We don't recognize how destructive it is, how dangerous it is to our own soul, and how we need God's grace to see it for what it really is. On the news in the last few days, you think of how one of our politicians has been caught having an affair. I suppose when that started, there probably was little thought of the damage it would do to his reputation, to his family. And you end up with someone in a big hole. Isn't that the way it is? Because really the start of these things, there's no thought really of what it is and how wicked it is and how wrong it is and how damaging it is, how destructive it is to others and dishonouring to God. The devil sugarcoats his temptations, and how we need grace to withstand them. Keep us when we are tempted. And Lord, if I begin to give in, remember me. Remember me and keep me from being drawn in further and further. We should be thankful that God promises a door of escape when we're tempted. Lord, help me to see that door of escape before it's too late and I end up more and more in sin. So sometimes you'll allow us to begin not only to be tempted but to enter into that temptation, and then he will take off the tempter before things get too much for us. We should be thankful for that. And what a mercy it is that God helps. Surely we should plead for mercy day by day. Lord, deliver me from the evil one. I am weak. My heart is, as it were, full of tinder, so that all it takes is one of those dark, fiery darts of the evil one to strike, and the lusts will be inflamed. Lord, keep me. Grant me grace that I might quickly quench those temptations. And yes, when I have fallen carelessly into the snare of the evil one, don't leave me there. But help me to get a way out. Let us plead for mercy. I suppose one thing we must also remember is this, that to be tempted is in and of itself not sinful, for the Lord himself was tempted. It's only when we entertain that, begin to play with it, that there is the beginning of sin, and it then leads to the commitment of the actual sin when we have embraced it and are ready to do it. But remember, the temptation itself is not in and of itself sinful. And sometimes we can be distressed about certain things which come into our mind, and well, yes, they may show the wickedness of our heart, they may have been planted there by the evil one, or they may have come just from our own wicked hearts. But let us remember, being tempted is not in of itself sinful. That doesn't mean to say temptation will not give you problems and not cause grief. So here's a prayer. Keep me from being tempted. Keep me when I am tempted. Perhaps we might also say, it's a prayer thirdly, keep us when we succumb to temptation, when we succumb to it. Isn't the reality that you and I often succumb to temptation? It's not just that we have it presented before us, it's not just that we begin to play with it. Sometimes we play with it more and more and more, and we actually give way to it. Deliver us from the evil one. Well, keep me from being ensnared more in sin. Is that not one aspect of this? Keep me from being ensnared more in sin. In other words, there might be a particular thing that the devil often likes to get you with. It might not trouble other people, but it troubles you. It might be lust of some sort, it might be envy, greed, it might be distrust of God, or some other thing. Many different ways in which that temptation can come. Well, when I've given way, when I'm beginning to give way, Lord, give me a holy hatred of that sin as soon as it appears. Help me, so that rather than getting further entangled in that sin, I might, by thy grace, be able to extricate myself from it, get out of it, and be delivered. Keep me from being ensnared more in sin. And yes, not just that particular sin that we're liable to fall into. Keep me, Lord, from other sins. Because what happens when you fall into one sin? Your heart begins to become hardened generally. Sin begins to dominate. Sin wants to have dominion. That's why the psalmist prayed, "Let no iniquity have dominion over me." He's conscious that there's a slippery slope, and the more he goes down that slippery slope, the more careless and indifferent he will become, the more open he will become to sin. Sin will increase, and there is that increasing danger of one thing leading to another. You think of David with Bathsheba. The lustful look leads to the lustful act, and then it leads to cover up, and it leads to murder. One thing leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. Lord, deliver us from evil. Keep me from being ensnared by more and more sin. Help me to respond to it as soon as I realize what I have done by fleeing from sin, and keep me from that hardness which is so dishonoring to thee and will lead me further and further into sin. Think of how the wicked are often abandoned in their sin. God gives them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are inconvenient. Well, deliver us from evil. Keep me from that. Draw me back to thyself. At the end of the day, surely it's a plea for mercy when we do fall. Deliver us from evil. May he show that compassion. He knows my weakness. But may he show that compassion. May he not say, "Leave him alone," as was said to Israel. But rather, may he in mercy receive me and restore me. Lord, grant that even when I do fall, good may come out of it. I might be more watchful in future. I might learn to be more careful. And that I might be more dependent on thee than I was before. That the graces of faith and repentance might be strengthened. That actually my love and joy might be strengthened by it. Lord, do not leave me in that dangerous situation. Well, isn't this a prayer we need to make as our daily prayer? Because it's a daily battle we are going to have in this world. Be thankful that Christ prays for his people. Sanctify them by thy word is truth. His prayer is that we would be kept from the evil one. But we ourselves have to pray also. And arm ourselves with the whole armor of God. And the Lord has given us this prayer, that we might learn more and more to be a people who rely wholly on him. The battle will only cease when God's people leave this world and enter into glory. But we're still in the middle of the battle. And so we need to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. May we enter more and more into the spirit of this prayer then, and be enabled daily to pray not only for forgiveness, because we need that, but for grace, that we might do battle against temptation and know a measure of victory through Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, do thou bless us and thy truth to us. Help us to rejoice that in Christ we have one who is a glorious Redeemer, the Redeemer, and one who has provided grace sufficient for his people. We need thy help to resist his wiles. Lord, grant us thy grace and enable us daily to arm ourselves with the whole armour of God and in dependence upon thee to engage in the battle. Keep us from things which we could not cope with. Deliver us when we begin to slip. Forgive us and restore us when we do fall into sin. Lord, grant us thy grace and forgive our sin for Jesus' sake.